Let's pray together. Father God, we cry out to you that song, Reign in Me, and that's the desire of our heart, Lord, is that you would reign within us. And God, as we have sung that to you, we don't want it just to be merely a song. We want it to be our very life. And so, Father, we come to you today and we say to you that we love you and we praise you. You are Lord. You're Lord of this church and Lord of our lives. And so, God, we proclaim that. We are your children. And we are thankful that we can be called your children, that you call us your children. And God, you give us each and every moment that fresh power that we need to walk through our daily living. And God, sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it gets difficult. And God, we don't know why some things we have to walk through, but Lord, you do know. And so we trust in you, God. And even when we failed in trusting you, we ask God that you just forgive us when we fail to trust in you for everything that we need. And Lord, we think today of those concerns that as we've walked through this week, Lord, there have been concerns, maybe, God, personal concerns. Maybe their family members aren't well, or God, maybe even in ourselves we're not well. And so, Father, we just lift those to you. But in particular today, we pray for Madeline Just, and we pray, God, that you continue to make her well and be with the family there as they're with her, and Lord, may she be encouraged today in some way. We think of Edie Glendenning, and God, we are so thankful how you just ordained things in your time, and we pray your blessing upon her, your strength on her, God, and may she feel your presence even today. May she feel, Lord, your power as you continue to give her strength and heal her, Father. We pray for her husband Gary and be close to him, and God, be very close to them as a couple and protect them, Father. We just pray that you'll give to the doctors wisdom as they treat her as well as she recovers. And Lord, we rejoice that Selma is back with us. And Lord, we're excited about that. And we praise you for what you've done, the measure of healing you've given her. And Lord, that's exciting. And it's good to see her smiling face once again. And we thank you, God, for what you've done there. And I pray, Lord, for my mother as well, that you give her strength. And Lord, that as she continues to have a good spirit about things, I pray that may she know very clearly your spirit that is with her. And Father, may she be encouraged today. For all those, Lord, that we have even on our health needs list, we pray for them today. We lift them to you. And pray, Lord, in each situation, you know each situation, you know each family member. And we pray, God, that in each of those situations that your will would be done. We want nothing less than that, God. And so we pray for Nathan and for Doug and Ruth and Herb and Lori and Connie and Judy and Seaver and Megan and Claude. And Lord, we pray that you would just be very close to each of them and their families. We think of Vince and Herman. We're excited, Lord, to hear that they're drawn closer to you again and having prayer time. And Father, we just pray your blessing on them. For the Misfield family, God, we pray for them and walking through a difficult time right now this week. And we pray, Lord, that you would just ease their hurt and their pain as they have lost a grandmother and whose teenage daughter is in a car accident. God, we pray for them. Lord, there's so many things that we come to you with. We just want to drink you in today. Lord, we know that you have a huge a plan for First. God, it seems so large, and we pray for our neighbors. We pray for the city. We pray that your will be done. We know you're in control. And so we trust in you completely, God. For all of our needs. Father, just bless us today as we dig into your word now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Isn't it great to have Selma back? Straight over there. It's great. I got to raise this up, I'm sorry. I did that to dissuade you so you wouldn't see me doing that. That's great. How you all doing? Great. No, really, how many of you are doing great today? Oh, right on. That's excellent. Share some of that, will you, with the rest of us? Appreciate it. Edie's here. Hi, Edie, I didn't even see you. Praise God that you're here. Well, I'm glad that you're here. Edie had surgery this week, and now you're sitting here. Praise God that you're here. Wow, praise God. Praise the Lord. That is just great. Sorry, Edie, I had to embarrass you guys. I hope that's okay. That's all right. Okay, good. How are you feeling, by the way? Good. That's it. I had to ask her personally. Just you guys, you can do what you want. No, just kidding. Excellent. Well, as we get started this morning, I want us to take just a little poll, and I'm looking for people who have you ever had a problem or a difficult challenge in your life? All right, okay, I'm not alone. How about health-related issues, financial problems? Don't put your hands over them. Family, maybe work, church, maybe some other thing. If you are one of these people, you know what life is like, right? Amen? I can't think of anyone who doesn't have problems of some sort, from leaky roofs to arthritis or bald tires or balding head or, you know, everyone has problems. And sometimes you may feel like the men I read about in a sinking ship. They're left on the ship where the captain and three sailors, and the captain spoke first. He said, "Men, this business about a captain going down with his ship is nonsense." It is. "There's a three-man life raft on board, and I'm going to be on it. To see who will come with me, I will ask you each one question, and the one who can't answer will stay behind." And here's the first question. "What unsinkable ship went down when it hit an iceberg?" Ooh, the first thing. Ooh, the Titanic. Very good. You did a good job. The next question. "How many people perished?" Second sailor said, 1,517, sir. Very well done. Now the third question, and at this, the water level started to rise on the ship. The captain turned to sailor number three and he said, "What were their names?" You get it. We all walk through difficult moments, difficult times. They're like, questioning, why am I where I am today? Why do you work where you work? Why do you live where you live? Why do you go to school where you go to school? Why do you go to church where you go to church? You do what you do because God has assigned you there and here for such a time as this. But every now and then we find ourselves at a moment in time that might be called that pivotal point in history where we just say, all right, oh, this is a rough one. This is a tough battle that I'm walking through. When I think of what's happening even around us right now and consider that we're standing on tiptoes waiting to see what God is going to do here, it's exciting where God is taking us. But it's not an easy battle. Life isn't an easy battle. Over these past few weeks, we have walked with spiritual giants who have taught us well, and this morning we need to take another road trip. And I need to advise you, though, first of all, that this journey may be bumpy. It might involve some very harsh cornering, maybe even some high-stress driving. In fact, it may be something similar to this, and I want you to put it up on the screen because you got to get a picture and a feel for this. And make sure the sound is on, please, because you got to see this. By the way, you'll love this when it comes on. Do full screen, too.
She's never going to get in there. How did you get in there? Aye, aye.
Okay, what do you think, eh? Talk about determination, you know. I want us to, sometimes life is like that. We just don't know where we can go. And then all of a sudden the door opens up. And wasn't that remarkable? Man, you can learn from that. No, don't try it, but you can. I want to travel, though, this morning. I want us to travel with a lady whose clothes are vibrantly colored. They appear to be made of the finest silk. And she's wearing gold jewelry and a crown studded with precious gems. Her grace and her bearing lead us to believe that she must be royalty. Her name is Esther. And this mature lady, she helps us understand, above all things, she helps us understand that God has a place for each one of us. God does. So I want us to take a trip this morning. And as long as we take this trip, we're going to run into some road signs, all right? These are road signs along God's plan for your life. Road signs along God's plan. The first one is that during construction, you may not understand God's planning and purpose for your life. You just may not. In fact, turn to Esther chapter 4. I invite you to turn to Esther chapter 4 because I'm going to look there specifically this morning. But as you do that, I want you to know that God is always shaping us. He never stops. We're always under construction. In fact, I remember a child's t-shirt that said this, "Please be gentle with me. I'm under construction." That's good theology. If ever there was someone with a strong sense of place and destiny, it's Esther. However, for many of her years, she didn't realize that God had a special place for her to serve him. Maybe you're similar to Esther today. Maybe this morning you're here and you're searching, you're longing for a glimpse into understanding what God's plan for your life really is. I know that there have been times where I've wondered what God's plan in the whole scheme of things was. I often wondered, what purpose could God have for me? How can God possibly use me? Now, first, I want to clear something up. It's not wrong to ask such a question of God. To say, "God, I don't know what you're doing with me. I don't know how you can possibly use me in this situation." There are those times where we just can't understand what God was trying to do, why something happened, why the events occurred the way they did. And Esther, for much of her life, felt out of place. She didn't feel like she belonged. Her parents died when she was very young, and she was adopted by her uncle Mordecai, and there were times that she felt out of place in his home. And as she grew up in a strange country with different customs, again, she felt out of place. And being a simple girl, being brought into the king's court made her feel completely out of place because she became royalty. Well, if you look at Esther chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 11. Verse 10 first. "Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, 'All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king.'" She didn't understand at this point the plan that God had for her life. Have you ever wondered what God's plan and purpose for a particular circumstance or a particular event or a particular life was? I can think of many situations or stories where people have wondered, "God, what are you trying to do here?" And in fact, I know that many of us walk through situations thinking all the while, "Well, Peter, people better get the..." Sorry, Peter, I saw you sitting there and I just said the word Peter. I apologize for that, Peter. But all the while, people better change their way of thinking through this. And all the while, we need to change our heart. God wants us completely. And while we may want to serve him completely, we do not particularly enjoy the way he causes us to look closer at him. In fact, sometimes we can walk further away from God than closer to God through circumstance. It's like this. It's like the only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small uninhabited island. Call him Gilligan if you want. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him. And every day he scanned the horizon for help. You know what it's like? Nothing seemed to come. He would look. Nothing was there. No help was coming. And exhausted, he managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements, and he gathered a few things that washed up on shore, and he saved a few possessions. He put them in there, and one day after scavenging from food, he came walking up to his land, which was all his, and he arrived back to his place, his little hut, and his little hut was in flames, burning, smoke rolling up to the sky, and he got down. He said, "The worst thing that happened, everything was lost." He was stunned, he was in grief, and he was in anguish, and he said, "God, how could you do this to me?" Have you ever said that? Early the next day, he was awoken by the sound of a ship approaching the island, come to rescue him. Weary man said, he said, "How did you know that I was here?" The sailors replied, "Well, we saw your smoke signal." It's easy when we're under construction to get discouraged. But we shouldn't lose heart, because when we're under construction, God is at work all around us, even in the midst of the pain and the suffering. In fact, Soren Kierkegaard said it well when he said, "The thing is to understand myself, to see what God really wishes me to do, to find the idea for which I can live and die." Wow. Esther chose to walk closer to God and trust him completely. And when she did that, her life did a complete turnaround. How about you? How are you trusting God, knowing that he wants the best for your life, not someone else's life? Don't. I wonder if they're listening this morning. No, none of that. Your life, you. Even though we cannot understand the plan, he has the best plan and purpose in mind for us. I got to tell you that over this past week, I've questioned many times the plan that God has for First. And November 7th is coming quickly, and it's open forum. And I call on you, the people of God, November 7th, mark it on your calendars, 7 o'clock, let's show them what First is made of. Let's all show up. Let's fill the chambers. But I was thinking about, God, what do you have in mind? What's going on here? What do we do? Do we do something different? Do we change something? Because there's opposition, and this opposition is getting to me. And it's, but wait a minute, Nehemiah was opposed as well. There was a lot of opposition there. And David, there was a lot of opposition there. And Moses, there was a lot of opposition there. And Paul, there was a lot of opposition there. There's always been opposition with the people of God. And I realize that God, he is still God. And he has a plan for First. And he still has the plan and purpose for First. But we need to pray. We need to gather as God's people, and we need to pray in complete unity. And I'm calling, I got to tell you right now, I'm declaring Tuesday a day of fasting and praying. In fact, I'm going to ask you, if you can come at noon, around 12 o'clock on Tuesday, we're going to gather back here on this land, and we're going to pray. We're going to do that Tuesday at 12 o'clock. We'll stand and we'll proclaim this land to the Lord, and then we'll pray God's blessing here, and we're going to do that on Tuesday. And in fact, you got the sheet out there in the foyer. You can put your name down, your little John Henry. You're all going to sign John Henry now because I said that. You can put your name down, your address, and your phone number, sign it. You can put that down. You can call your city councilor. You can say, you know what? I love the idea of Caleb Village. You see, something which we do not understand, God uses everything to develop us personally. And that's the transformation that God awaits. Isn't that exciting? Huh? You people are here, aren't you? Yeah. Let me speak to you for just a moment. If you're in a season of life right now where you just do not yet understand God's plan, take heart. Just because you don't comprehend God's plan for your life doesn't mean that God doesn't care or doesn't have one for your life. Because He does. He does. And we just need to have faith and remain obedient to Him. Amen? And Esther, here she is. The Jews are going to be killed. And she's just, wait. Mordecai says, go in. Go talk to the king. What? Go talk to the king, but I could die. I could get killed. I'm waiting to hear from him. I'm waiting 30 days. I haven't heard a thing. See, while under construction, you may not understand God's planning and purpose for your life. The second road sign along God's plan is yield to God's purpose, and you'll feel empowered. Yield to God's purpose, you'll feel empowered. Esther lived during a time when the Hebrews had been taken from their homeland. They had been exiled to Persia, and she suffered many hardships in her life, but she also received a rare opportunity. And when the king, King Ahasuerus of Persia, sought a new queen, all the most beautiful young unmarried women in the land were brought together and prepared to be presented to him. And that included Esther, even though she was Jewish. A fact that she didn't share with other people. And to her delight, and that of Mordecai, she was chosen by Ahasuerus to be the queen. And it looked as if Esther's life was destined for one of those, you know, wonderful, wonderful, happy storybook endings, you know. And they all walked together through the meadow with the flowers blooming and the birds singing. But then an official came named Haman. An official in the king's court, and plotted to have all the Jews in the entire kingdom executed. Killed. And he did it all simply because of a grudge that he held against Uncle Mordecai. Isn't it interesting how much a grudge can consume a person? That is what occurred for Haman. His grudge against Mordecai was so all-consuming, he could think of nothing else but his hurt and his pain. Now, before you're too hard on dear old Haman, think of your own heart today. Are you carrying a grudge against someone? You see, often God takes a back seat, and we allow the grudge, come on up, and you drive for a while. And unfortunately, our relationship with Christ is almost non-existent when we allow a grudge to consume us instead of the Lord. And what's amazing is to know that once Mordecai discovered the plan, he sought Esther's help to save their people. Mordecai wanted Esther to appeal to the king. What a purpose! Have there been times when you felt you weren't where you belonged? People often feel that way. Sometimes we lack close relationship with others. Other times we question our ability to do the job required of us. We simply feel out of place. We fear that we will never feel at home. And Esther understands those feelings. All her life she felt out of place. Having been dislocated from her family, from her culture, from her country, but she realized too quickly that no place is out of place when you're in God's place. No place is out of place when you're in God's place. And if you look here, Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, verse 12. He sent back this answer. He said, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." It's like this past week, someone came in and to tell me a story. His story. I love it when people tell me their stories. And he began to talk about raking leaves in his yard. Anybody here know what raking leaves is all about? You people don't rake your leaves. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. I thought, do you hire it out? You know, good thought. Well, look at this. It's like this Garfield. Put up Garfield there. Look at this. He's sitting under the tree, nice green leaves. starting to change color, starting to change. This is how long he sleeps, you see, sleeping on the job. Boom! There goes the leaves, right on there. You know, and that's how it is. So we watch the leaves change color, and I was like, whoom, you know. And you can rake them up, and all of a sudden, whoom, again, you know, from your neighbor's yard. And that's what happened. But I love it when people, and this fellow, he began to speak about raking leaves in his yard. I hope I get this right. You know, you know what it's like. You rake leaves, they're all over the place. And we rake and rake, and those leaves still blow around. But this fellow came in and told me a fantastic story. Planning and raking his yard, preparing for the winter snowfall. Raked a little. Decided to, you know, help out the neighbors, help somebody else rake. So he did that. Then he went to put his rake away, call it a day. Setting his rake in the garage, still small voice said to him, love your neighbor. Ignored the pleading again. Love your neighbor. Said the voice wouldn't leave him. Picked up his rake. He hit it across the way, helped this elderly neighbor rake her leaves. Just waltzed over there, began raking. You know, try doing that to your neighbor. You know, just walk over and start raking. And as he did this, this lady began to just open up. Tell her story. But her husband has Alzheimer's. They finished raking the leaves, and his yard still looking like he never touched it. And as he left, he said to this dear neighbor, he said, I will pray for your husband. And as she was overcome with some emotion, she whispered, thank you, that means so much to us. See, no place is out of place when you're God's place. Are you in God's place for your life today? Mordecai's request was no small request. At this time, if anyone who had been summoned, not been summoned by the king, appeared before him, and the king wasn't pleased, the person would be executed. End of story. So for 30 days, Esther waited to be called to the king. Nothing. And if she went to him on her own, she would be risking her life. See, Esther did not yet understand. God had uniquely placed her where he wanted her in order to accomplish his will. At first she refused. But then those wonderful words from Mordecai. Look at the very end here, verse 4. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Mordecai explained, God might have made Esther queen just to save his people. And Esther's heart soared. It empowered her to be whom God created her to be. When the time comes that you recognize a call of God in your life, it will fire you to action. It's like love your neighbor. Even in the face of opposition or danger, maybe you recall vividly your excitement, your enthusiasm when you were in a particular place or doing a particular ministry. Maybe you remember a time when you had such passion and proclamation for what you were doing. That, my friends, is where Esther was at. She had such conviction over this very thing that she was created to do. What godly power is in knowing what you were created to do. But the road signs that go along with that, along God's plan, is during construction, you may not understand God's planning purpose for your life. Secondly, when you yield to God's purpose for your life, you feel empowered. And thirdly, go ahead. Taking a risk is easier when you know God's in control. These words that Mordecai spoke changed to Esther. And for the first time, Esther realized that God had a place for her. Her hesitation was replaced with direction. Her questions were dissolved with newfound conviction. She was ready to take action because she knew that God was in control. And listen to her immediate response, verse 15. Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. See, Esther came to realize that her privileges were not just for her pleasure. She'd been put in a palace for a purpose. Do you know that God has placed you for a purpose? The situations, the reactions, the circumstances, the habitats, the relationships that you have are all about your purpose. Are you using every ounce of who you are for God's purpose? See, of interest to you may be knowing this. You will know the joy of the Lord if you examine everything around you closer as the plan and purpose of God for your life. Now, I know when I thought about that, I began to look at the negative, because that's how the enemy works. He will get you thinking about all the bad stuff that has happened to you. He'll get you focusing on putting the grudge in the driver's seat, the people around you. He'll get you focusing on the drudgery. And then he begins the process of just getting you to think very negatively about God's plan for your life. Some even cannot see their purpose because they're too absorbed in finding it. And here Esther, she comes to, if I perish, I perish. You see, courage and initiative come when you understand your purpose in life. And what Esther experienced brings to mind the words of Henry Van Dyke. He said, use what talents you possess. The woods would be very silent if no birds sang there except those that sang best. Esther believes God. And very matter-of-factly, she says, if I perish, I perish. She wasn't being a fatalist. She was placing herself in God's hands, saying, here, God, here I am. I don't know why I'm walking through this stuff. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm walking through it. I don't know why everything seems to be against me. But I'm here. She placed herself in the hands of a God who loved her. That same God loves you, just the same. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life that is so wonderful that you can take a risk knowing he's in control. Dr. John Maxwell, my mentor of leadership, I love him. He's just a great man. He said, do not follow where the path may lead. Follow God instead, where there's no path, and leave a trail. Are you leaving a trail wherever you go? Are you leaving a mark of your godly life shaping through the field of life? God not only has a place for us, he has placed us where he needs us. The decision is ours as to whether we will do what we can where we are for him. Not only does God have a place for us here on earth, he also has one prepared for us in heaven. That's the beauty about God. He looks after us all through life, even into eternity. And Esther's story itself is a great encouragement to us. Yet before we end our excursion with her, our little travel, she has something terrific. She has something wonderful to explain to us today. She says, I must tell you something very important. Very important. You ready? God has a place for you. Her voice is gentle, it's strong, and pleasing to the ear. But it's reassuring to remember that God is always with us, and to know that we can be used by God no matter where we find ourselves, knowing that God has a place for you keeps you moving forward in the direction that he has for you. Let's pray. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I ask you this morning, maybe you're afraid of where God wants to take you. In fact, maybe you're just afraid of what's occurring in your life right now, that you've kind of forgotten that God needs to be in the driver's seat. Maybe you're so absorbed in all the stuff that's happening around you that, just like Esther, you're feeling out of place, and yet God wants to put you in place, but you've never surrendered who you are to him. given up everything for him. This morning is the time to do that. When you do that, you will get the renewed passion to risk for him. The passion that you once knew, the enthusiasm you once understood, you will once again receive that joy within you. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're coming to God in that way today, saying, God, I surrender to you everything, everything about me, who I am, what's going on around me, the pain and the suffering. God, even the joys, give it to him. Just lift your hand if you're saying that to him today. Lord, I give you everything. I surrender it all to you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. Maybe this morning you're here and you've realized afresh and anew that God not only has a place for you here, he also has a place for you in heaven. You never thought of that before. He cares enough about you to give you a place wherever you go. You've never trusted in him completely and said, Lord Jesus, forgive me for where I've sinned, where I've done wrong, forgive me. I give you my life today. I want to be a Christian. If you're saying that to him today, if you're saying, God, I just want to be a Christian. I give you my heart. I want you to enter in. I give you my life. Just lift your head up. Just lift your head. Lord bless you. Father, we count it a privilege that we can worship you, a God who looks after even the little details that are so large, God, like the reign of Queen Esther. God, it just seems so impossible, but you made it possible. Lord, that's just good for us today as we look at where we're heading as a church. God, it just seems so impossible. And at times, Lord, it grieves me when I think of how impossible it seems. But God, nothing is impossible with you. You proved that again this morning, Lord, through Esther's life. And so I pray that as we walk through this week, God, that we would remember that nothing is impossible with you. You make everything possible. God, refresh us as your people. We need a fresh wind, a fresh fire from you, God, so we can walk through this week. We extol and praise you, our Father, our Lord, our Savior. You're everything to us. Pray your blessing and protection on your people now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You've been beautiful to minister to. Wow.